So good to end this evening in the way we began this evening in worship to our Lord. We're thankful for your presence tonight as we again think about some of the things that are on our mind, but we can't see quite yet, haven't experienced yet, but things that we think about. And the last few weeks on Sunday night, we've done that. Tonight we will look at things related to the future and what the future holds for us, and perspective on the future, a way to think about it, all those things. But before that, let's go to our Father for a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the abundance of blessings that we have. We have food and clothing and shelter. We have those things close to us. We have all those things very convenient to us. But we also know that we have an abundance of conveniences in our lives, things that go beyond the necessities that so many people in the world have never experienced, have never even seen. And we know that we are truly blessed in this life. And we also know that we're often not thankful for those things. And more often than not, we complain about not having enough. We know that that is offensive to you. And considering all that you've done for us, we pray that you forgive us when we do not express thanks for just the abundance of blessings that you bestow on us each day. We know that we are sinful. We know that at times that we stray from the mark that you have set for us. And we pray that we have the courage to hit that mark and to do what's right, and that you forgive us when we sin. We pray tonight that you bless all the people who are missionaries around the world, who are striving to share the gospel with the lost, those in very difficult places tonight, who are not meeting in buildings, who are maybe meeting with people who have never heard the word of Jesus. We pray that you bless their efforts. We know there are many tonight in our number who are not feeling well, would want to be here, but they can't due to illness. We pray also that you bless their lives. Be with us as we study tonight. May your word penetrate our hearts so that we can mold into the type of people you would have us be, to be a bright light for Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. As I said, we're talking about the future. And the future, unfortunately for a lot of people, is kind of something that we don't want to think about. We don't want to spend too much time on because we're afraid. A lot of people think of the future with a lot of fear of what's going to happen. So many few people look at the future and say, it's all going to be great. Whether, no matter what the subject is, what's going to happen at your job, what's going to happen with this, what's going to happen with that, and we tend to go to it's going to get worse. We think, what's going to happen in America? What's this country going to be like in 50 years? And we can look at all the negative things that are going on, all the bad things in our society, and we would all probably come up with the same list of the bad things in America. And we'd say, it's all just going to get worse and worse and worse. But I suppose if you went back to the 1850s and looked at America in the 1850s, I wonder how many people would have said the same thing. Would have said, everything that's going to be invented has already been invented. A man named Horace Greeley actually said that once, a man who lived in the 1800s. Everything that's been invented has already been invented. He said, it's over. This is going to be life forever. Well, he was very, very wrong. We invented a lot more things. Life in America changed dramatically, and it changed dramatically for the better. Has it changed dramatically in a lot of ways for the worse? Oh, yeah. And again, we could all agree on the things that we've seen that have not been good progress for this country. What about Churches of Christ? What about the future of Churches of Christ? You see, in some areas, the church has grown quite rapidly. Congregations have grown quite rapidly in all the good ways. With a lot of baptisms and a lot of evangelism and a lot of service. But we know that it's fallen off in other areas. What's going to happen to just the strength of the church and the influence in this country regarding the Churches of Christ? What about your children? You think about their future. You think about their families. You think about what they're going to be doing. does that bring some apprehension, some pause, some concern? What about your job? What about your finances? Am I going to have enough money to retire? Will I have to work every day for the rest of my life? Will I never have enough money to stop working and enjoy the last few years of my life? What about your faith? You say, what, am my faith going to be stronger tomorrow than it is today? Is it going to get weaker? What if I face challenges? All these other things don't work out the way I would like them to. What's my faith going to be like? What about your goals? You may not have goals that you think about, that you've written down, that you consider. But why not? Why not have things in the future where you say, this is what I'm trying to accomplish, that are good things. They're not selfish things. They're not things that are going to push people aside. They're not about self-promotion, but they are genuine good things to do in life. Do you have anything set in the future to where you say, this is what I'm trying to do, and I want to accomplish that goal? A lot of times we think about the future, and you say, well, I can't read the Bible every day. I just don't have the time. I can't spend more time in prayer. I can't say just even simple thing like write a card to people in this congregation on their birthday. I can't do this. I can't do that. Again, we tend to think in all the ways it can't happen. What about your health? We can make a list twice as long as this one of all the things in our lives that when we look in the future, we say, I don't think it's going to work out. Here are all the things that can go wrong. I just don't think it's going to get any better. Now, we know there are some people who are always optimistic about the future. Always look at the future and say things are going to get better. You want to be around people like that. I like to be around people like that. That it's going to work. We have a plan to do something. Hey, it's going to work and it's going to be great. But most of the time, we tend to think it's not going to really work out that well. Things will get worse. Well, James chapter 4, James talks about the future. Probably the best few verses in the Bible about the future in your life. And there's a lot here for us to deal with tonight. And look at what he says about our plans. He says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. And that last verse, and we'll get to that verse in a minute, but that last verse goes with the ones in front of it. We tend to take it and put it by itself, but it's in the context of this discussion about the future. Let's begin tonight talking about the future by noticing some mistakes people make. And the first one is they do all their planning without God. Do all their planning without God. What did James say in that first verse that we looked at? Come now, you who say that we're going to go into the future. We're going to engage in business. We're going to make a profit. We're going to go to such and such a city. We're going to do this. Not a word about God in that verse. We got all these plans, but the plans don't involve God. The plans have no thought of God whatsoever. Have you ever made plans like that? Have you ever made plans with your family, plans with work, plans, and say, and not give a consideration for how that will affect your faith? You know, a lot of families, a lot of people say, we're going to move to this city, I got a great job, I will make twice as much money, and they got great schools, and they got great this, and they do all those things and get to that place, and they look around and say, where's the church? Well, we didn't think about that. We didn't think about the spiritual health of our children. We didn't think about our own spiritual health. And while all those other things may work out really well, we may have set ourselves back spiritually in the process. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus makes a similar statement. In Luke chapter 14, beginning of verse 28, says, "For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" Jesus says, have you ever thought about the man that says, "Hey, I'm going to build this great house, I'm going to build this thing. Got all the great plans, and it's going to work out, but he can't finish the house. He forgot to make enough plans, the right plans." James says, the first mistake you're going to make with your plans is that you don't involve God. That he is not at all involved in what you're doing. And when this happens, we are bound to fail. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, the proverb said, "Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established." Everybody can understand that verse. And everybody who's made plans that way has seen the success that comes from that. When he is part of the plans. You ever notice that the word life has the word if in the middle of it? Because in life, it is a lot about if. It's a lot about conditions. It's a lot about if this happens or if this happens. Nothing is ever secure. Nothing is ever sure. Nothing is ever really 100%. You make all the plans in the world, but there are still conditions that have to be met. There are things that can happen where your plans will not prevail. Proverbs 16, verse 9, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Our minds can only do so much. We can only plan so much. We need to make plans, but we have to make plans with God. James says the first mistake you make in planning is if you do it without God. The second mistake, well, there's actually three ways, rather, that people can respond to God's will in their lives, of wanting to do what God wants them to do. When they look at their life, there's three ways that you can think about what God wants you to do. The first one is you can show indifference to God's will. I don't care. Now, I don't care is really the worst way to be spiritually. I'd rather somebody say, "I don't know." I'd rather hear somebody say that I don't understand. I'd rather have somebody say I doubt something related to the Bible, related to God. Because all of those statements have some element of I care. If you're doubting, it means you're struggling with it. It means you're dealing with it. It means there's something there you're working on. You're interested in removing the doubt. If somebody says, "I don't know," then you can use that and say, "Well, then let's open the Bible, let's learn." When somebody says, "I'm indifferent, I don't care," then they're not engaged in any part of God's will. They're as far away from God as they can be. The prodigal son found himself in this horrible place. You know, he had plans. "I'm going to take Dad's inheritance now instead of waiting until he passes on, and I'm going to have the greatest life there ever was." Without God in mind, his life fell apart. But when he started to care, is when his life turned around. It's when things got better. So you can show indifference to God's will. You can also make a reference to it. A lot of people talk about God's will. You reference it. But you really don't put it in the plans. You say that you care about what God wants. You say that I want God to bless my life and all those types of things. But a lot of people then defy what God wants them to do. They do exactly the opposite of what the Bible says, all the while saying, "I really want God to bless what I'm doing." And it never dawns on them that if you want God to bless what you're doing, you might want to do what he says. He already told you how to live your life and be blessed. But a lot of people make reference to God's will. Some just don't care. They're indifferent. Some make a reference to it, but they don't really implement it. Or you can give preference to it. And say, I have my will, the way I want to do things, and there's God's will, the way He wants things to be done. And so I'm going to give preference to God's will. And that's how we're like Jesus, because Jesus said, Lord, if it be your will, let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus said, if my will is here and God's will is here, then I'm always going to do God's will, even if my will seems to be better, seems to be easier. That makes no difference. Take that out of the way. I always want to do what the Father wants me to do. The second mistake people make in the plans about the future is they take tomorrow for granted. Life is not predictable. If you'll notice, and this is, we're in the month of March, and the college basketball national tournament is going on, and every year when the teams are announced that are going to be in the tournament, all the experts are on television, and they all fill out their bracket, and these are people that do this for a living. They get paid a lot of money to know college basketball. And the games they pick on their bracket, a lot of times, look at the same as if you took the bracket and handed it to somebody driving down Highway 49 and said, fill this out by the end of the tournament. Even the people that know the most about a subject cannot predict the future. And it doesn't matter what field it is. You cannot say this is absolutely going to happen. Because we don't even know there's going to be a tomorrow in the first place. It's not predictable, and it's not going to last forever. That's what James keeps saying in this passage. Verse 14, after he says, you made the mistake of making plans without God. We're going to go to such and such a city. We're going to make a profit. The very next thing he says, but you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. He said, you don't know that's going to happen. You might go to such and such a city and lose every dime you have. And make no profit. He said, you don't know what it's going to be like. And he says, it's not going to last forever. The next sentence he says is, you are just a vapor. It appears for a little while and vanishes away. Life is very fast. The Greek word there for vapor is atmosphere. Atmos, the air around the circle, the atmosphere. He said, that's what life is. It's that quick. It's just like the little vapor. It's just here for a second. It's gone. You can't predict what's going to happen tomorrow. And guess what? You're not going to have all the days that you want to do it. You can't say, okay, I need this many years. I need this much time. We can't do that. We have no power in that. Proverbs 27 to verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth, which is almost exactly what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. You do not know what a day may bring forth. A lot of frustration happens in life when we make plans. And we think because we wrote it down, because we put it in our phone, because we thought about it, because we want it to happen, it didn't happen. And we think, well, I can't believe it didn't happen. I mean, I wrote it down. We almost convince ourselves we have that kind of power. But we don't. We never have. We never will. Do not boast about tomorrow. I can predict the future. This is going to happen. I just know it's going to be this way. Bible says stop doing that. James even says it here in verse 16 of chapter 4. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. The third mistake people make in their planning is they delay doing good. You may have seen this poem before. Procrastination is my sin. It always causes me sorrow. I know I ought to change my way. In fact, I think I will. tomorrow. That's what people have said about any number of things in their lives. Because they think, I have all the days in the world to fix this. I can wait. I can put it off another day. This is just going to automatically fix itself if I just don't do anything. Well, that's never going to happen. Things don't fix themselves. Things that are broken don't magically just fix themselves. Well, there's a good thing to be done. It has to be done. It cannot just simply be accomplished some other way. We tend to think of sin, of course, as bad things that we do. And so there are a lot of good, well-meaning Christians, and I hope all of us are this way, who are very serious about not doing bad things. I'll never do this, I'll never do that. Sort of like the rich young ruler when Jesus said, you kept the commandments, and he so proudly said that I have absolutely not broken any of the commandments, which we've all noticed that most of them are not really that hard not to do. We're very good at that. We say, I will not do this, I will not do that, I'll be sure my children don't do these things. I won't say bad words, I'm not going to drink, I'm not going to gamble, I'm not going to cheat on my spouse, I'm not going to steal anything, I'm not going to break the law. Here are bad things, and I'm not going to do the bad things. But we tend not to think of sin, though, or as leaving things out that are good to do. We never, and I say we in the most general sense, I don't mean this is 100% with everybody, I'm just speaking generally. That when there are good things that we see that are done, we say, well, that's for somebody else or whatever. We don't have that same conscience about not doing it as we do about when we do something that's bad. The Bible says, yes, there are sins that you commit, and you can also sin by not doing things you ought to be doing. James makes that perfectly clear about the future. He says, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. It could not be stated any plainer than that. We have to broaden our minds when it comes to sin. We have to broaden our minds when it comes to how we live in these few days that we have on this earth. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Now you could put that on the refrigerator, you could put that on your mirror in the bathroom. That's probably something good to read every day. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. We know that James, in this same book, in chapter 2, mentions some of those same things as well. Third mistake we make about the future is that we think we got all the time in the world, and I can do good for that person later. I can do it later. And it's really not a sin anyway. It's really not that big of a deal. I'm just going to be sure I don't do any of the bad things. When we look into the future, we have to make plans with God in mind. We look into the future, we have to understand that it's not predictable. We have to understand it's not forever. And that the days that we have, we need to do good. in those days. Today was not guaranteed to us. Yesterday, we did not know there would be a today, either that the Lord would come back or we just wouldn't be here for any other reason. But we've had it, and the same will be true of tomorrow. It's not guaranteed. We will hopefully have it. And hopefully we'll use it well. Hopefully our attitude will be like verse 15 in James chapter 4. When he said, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live. And also do this or that. If the Lord wills, we'll all be alive. And these are the things we want to do. I think the world would be a lot better. I think our families would be better. Churches would be better if that was the attitude of people. We're going to make plans with God. We're going to take advantage of every day. We're going to understand that faith is more than just avoiding the bad things. It's also about doing the good things and being committed to doing those good things. What is your future in your relationship with the Lord? Are you outside of Christ or are you in Christ? Very interesting phrasing in the Bible. Being out of Christ, being in Christ. The Bible says that several times in the New Testament. Every time it talks about being in Christ or putting one in Christ, it always relates that to baptism. Being baptized into Christ. Galatians 3 talks about it. Romans chapter 6 talks about it. Being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you have done that, you say, yes, that's something that I've done in my life, but my faith is weak. My burdens are many and heavy, and I need prayers from people who care about me in doing better in my faith. You need to be baptized tonight. If you need prayers for those types of things, we'd love to help you in that. So please come while we stand and sing.